You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
Give it up, Launch Street. Hope you are having a fantastic afternoon. I know I am. So I'm interviewing Kellen Kautzman today. He's an internet marketing guru. And one of the reasons I wanted to interview him is because I'm actually going through the process of redoing my website and the SEO and, you know, how we get found online and all this good stuff. And what I'm coming to realize is that those of us in the innovation space have a particularly hard time online because we tend to use language and lingo that's new to the world because our ideas are new to the world. And he helps me break down how to bring that new innovation to life, how to get attention for your ideas online. And a lot of those nuggets of wisdom and tools that he shares, I think actually truly translate to the offline world is to pay in particular attention to the part where we talk about having lots of 6-second conversations to get to the 30-second conversation in YouTube. I think you're going to really like it. So Kellen is the owner of Send It Rising Internet Marketing. He manages a team of over 20 internet marketing professionals. He holds a master's degree in education and he taught for 5 years before transitioning into his career as an internet marketer. Go enjoy. All right. So Kellen, tell me a little bit about how you even got into this world of internet marketing.
Sure. So I was a teacher first. I got a master's degree in education from the University of Minnesota, and I would leave the school and write articles, 2 or 3 at night, and then on days off about 5. And I would, all of this was done in the attempt to earn 1 million views online, which we managed to do. And so at that time, SEO in my mind was simply the title and description boxes that were afforded to us, which are the blue link and black text that appear in Google search. We were living in Minnesota, and if you know anything about Minnesota, you know that it's not warm.
Yeah. My husband's actually from Rochester, Minnesota, so I know quite well.
Send him my condolences. And so we went down to Vegas. The real estate market had bottomed out, and we thought, okay, if we play our cards right, maybe we can pick up a couple of properties down here while the prices remain low. So took a bold move, and I took a job at a little company called Advise Media Group for $9 an hour. And when you have a master's degree level of debt, that is not good. So I ended up sleeping in my car in between jobs. Flash forward 4 years, we had sold our home, which had appreciated, and I used that money to buy into the business and then ended up doing my own thing about a year after that with Send It Rising Internet Marketing. So we're a little bit different because, you know, I don't come from a web development background. I come from a teaching background. And so a lot of our clients will benefit from us showing them exactly what they need to be doing on their end, which we can talk about in further detail down the road. But internet marketing to me is anything that earns your attention online. There's a word in Latin, advertere, which simply means to turn toward. And it's the root of advertising. And so anything from a comment to a YouTube video, those all count in my book as internet marketing.
So I want to hone in on the word that you used, attention, getting your attention online. Can you talk a little bit about what, I don't even know how to ask this question, because as you said it, my head started spinning, but what is the challenge with getting attention online? Because it really is... it's so cluttered. I mean, it's almost worse than the real world in some ways because it's infinite. So will you talk a little bit about what that attention looks like and how you have to think about that and what barriers there are to get there?
Yeah. So our language basically demonstrates how we feel about buying something. When I say the phrase breaking down and buying, we have to have a shield up because we are relentlessly subject to advertisements that are subtly or not so subtly influencing our behavior. And if we didn't fight against that endless stream of ads, we would be broke. And some people do fall victim to that. And so on the other side of that coin, we need to make money. And so we have to hold on to our integrity, and we have to be smart. So my recommendation, given that Google rolled out something called Rank Brain in 2015, which is artificial intelligence, the recommendation is that we're not going to be able at this point to outthink this mega mind. We have to supply as much evidence of our expertise as is humanly possible, which is a paradigm shift, especially for those as they get older. The younger generation understands that making video is simply part of the culture now.
Right.
But the older you get, the more you think of that in terms of television. And that model is on life support. And so we need to empower the business owners now, which are typically 40 plus, to rethink how they see themselves, because they have an incredible opportunity to become a celebrity in their space using social media and YouTube in particular.
So I just want to pause for a second, because I think what you said is so important for us as business owners and innovators to recognize, which is some of those old models are dying. Like, to your point about, you know, the kind of one-way media, it's dying, or if not dead, in some situations. We really do, don't we, need to rethink how we go to market and how we connect with our tribe. And I love what you said about it, you know, you being a celebrity. And I'm wondering if you have any examples of that. I wonder if you have any examples of that, of, you know, people who really own their space.
So my recommendation to folks is always to get there.
Yeah.
Man. So, you know, here in Las Vegas, as you drive down the highway, you can't help but see ads for Glenn Lerner, who is a auto accident attorney.
Every town has one.
Mm-hmm. Las Vegas has like five. And, you know, he has established himself well in that old school model. Everyone knows him. However, I would use Brian Lebo as a good example of a realtor. And they can be incredibly challenging. Realtors can, because more often than not, there isn't a lot of budget there. They are entrepreneurs, but there's a lot of competition. They're a challenge. And Brian Lebo will do a monthly video wherein he stands in front of a green screen. It's moderately well produced. It's not the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, but it definitely gets the job done. And he has, I want to say, over 3,000 subscribers now, which is very good for a yeah. local realtor. And he's just very to the point, kind of funny, throws a joke in here and there, but he just gives you the basic information that you want, which is, what's the median home price? Is it going up or down? Do I think you should buy or sell? And end of video.
Wow, just so to the point and exactly what his audience wants to hear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and so via YouTube ads, which on average are 3 cents per view if you don't pay for focused keyword targeting, you can create social proof on a Starbucks budget. So if you have $5 a day that you can allocate, you can get hundreds and hundreds of views on YouTube. And the trick, or the secret, is that you don't pay for those YouTube views unless the user watches 30 seconds or more. So if they skip the ad by hitting the button in the lower right-hand corner, you don't pay. Therefore, in the first 6 seconds of those ads, you've got them. Brand. Tell them about your company. Show them your website. I see a lot of folks making a mistake when they don't use that first 6 seconds to get their business name across. Typically, one out of every eight people in our experience will actually listen to 30 seconds. And so you're losing out on a huge, huge portion of folks. And so we spent $200 on one campaign, to give you a sense, and we got 80,000 impressions.
Oh my gosh.
And they're geo-targeted. And so I've been at business events and people will say, have I seen you? And I'll say YouTube, and they'll go, I think that's it. I've seen you on YouTube.
So, but if I hear you correctly with the, particularly with the YouTube ad, is don't think because they skip that you don't have an click that skip button, which I totally do all the time.
But don't think
you don't have an opportunity in that 6 seconds before you can to actually not make a huge impact and actually get your message across.
Yeah, literally 8 times as many people will see that.
Wow. It just makes me wonder how many opportunities we miss to market ourselves or to get our idea across because we're looking for the 30 second. You know, we're looking for the person who's overly engaged versus the ones that need the multiple touch points before they're willing to go longer. You know, I mean, it's going to sound like a little bit of a tangent, but to me, it's the online marketing world is in many ways like a conversation you'd have with your leader, a boss, your team, where you got to get a lot of 6 second conversations in, and then you can get to the 30 second, and then you get them to click. And I would probably guess, you tell me, that those people who saw the 6 seconds over and over again probably then ended up going and taking, some of them ended up taking action and checking your website out or whatever it was, right?
That's a really interesting analogy you make with the boss in trying to get your way or to influence a little bit. You're right. We are constantly bombarded by advertising, and to continue the ongoing process of getting in front of someone is absolutely essential. We can't simply walk up to someone and say, hey, please buy this thing.
I've tried, it doesn't work.
Tomorrow is like, you know what? From personal experience, I find
pretty much.
So yeah, I mean, it's called organic for a reason. You can't yell at a seed and hope that it grows faster. And so, for example, if you're listening to this, think about what a YouTube channel would look like if you created one video a week for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
How many ideas can you come up with that will get you further down that path? Because the more you can envision it, the more likely it is to occur. And be good to yourself. I mean, if you're, let's say you do them every Friday, most of the time when we do our weekly YouTube video, I don't want to.
I love the honesty.
I'd rather not. So, I mean, you understand that. So yeah. You really got to be kind to yourself, but you have to be self-disciplined. Because no one's going to force you to do it.
I have a friend and colleague who I actually had on, Dre is his name, and he does a YouTube video a day. And he is diligent and consistent, and I am so impressed with his ability to do that. And but he had said, you know, if I wasn't consistent about it, I'd never get results.
I like Dre's style.
Yeah. Yeah, he's inspirational. He's a good one to keep up with. I want to dig in a little bit into Facebook retargeting. Because it's, you know, you hear a lot about it in the business world. I'm not sure most of us understand what it is, including myself, or why it's so powerful. So can you share in your experience, not just what it is, but how you even leverage it?
So Facebook retargeting is a wonderful way to keep your business in front of folks in a casual environment. And that's key. So if you, for example, have a product that is ongoing, Facebook's a wonderful means through which to keep your information front and center. So as folks go through their wall, you know, they're just flipping with their phone, retargeting only occurs when they've already visited your site. So to best explain it, let's use a business with whom this would make sense. So it'd have to be an ongoing business. So it's maybe like an oil change, a mechanic might be a good example. So we know they've gone to the site And because they've gone to the site, if you're really good at this, you'll know what they did. And so let's say they had just gone in for an oil change. Wonderful. So you could retarget them 2 months from then and then start serving them coupons back. Mm-hmm. This can easily digress into an Orwellian nightmare wherein the folks that you're targeting to are going, wow, that's spooky. I need an oil change and here's this coupon for the oil change.
And then it's like they're following me.
Right. And some people don't like it at all. And so you really got to ask yourself, okay, is this something that we want to be doing? It reminds me of a story wherein Target had enough big data to know before one of their customers that she was pregnant. She didn't realize it. And they knew with their algorithm. And the father shows up at the Target just waving this ad that they had sent to her violently saying, you're wrong, and this is, what is this, and blah, 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 blah. Turns out, you know, they were right.
Psych.
And what they'll actually do now is they will intentionally put like a rake next to the crib just to make it seem a little less creepy.
So maybe home improvement, pregnancy. One of the two is correct for you.
You may want to rake or buy a crib.
Oh my God, that's great. But correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I get retargeted all the time, like when I go to Zappos to look at shoes, you know, in the middle of the night during insomnia, and then those shoes are showing up, you know, for days on end. I tend to then go back and buy them. That's the truth. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like, yes, it can be a little stalkery and creepy on one hand. On the other hand, it keeps you front and center. They were interested for a reason, and who knows why they went away, but to our 6-second conversation, you need a lot of those impressions.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, I think people's tolerance for this will grow over time as they get used to it.
Right.
But there's a different vibe for a personal injury attorney over a shoe. And so each business has its own kind of, you know, integrity that it wants to look at, and some works better than others. I think Zappos is a great example. They actually are here in downtown Las Vegas. I drive by their location a lot.
Right. So you're saying know your tribe and know
that's
what
exactly
they're right. So right. So it's okay for shoes, but maybe it's, I can't think of an example that wouldn't be for me. I'm kind of an open book, but maybe there's something that, you know, I don't want constantly following me around.
Yeah, and look at your metrics. You know, the best thing a user can do to destroy a business is to ignore it. And so if they're simply not, you know, engaging, the other piece of the puzzle to consider is whether or not you want them to click on the ad. Some retargeting programs will not charge you unless they click. So in those examples, it's actually better for them not to. And so you can craft the ad in such a way where it actually disincentivizes the user to click. There is no reason why they would. And then you can get more free advertising that way.
That's so interesting. I love all these kind of little tidbits about how to really work the system, because what I hear a lot from other entrepreneurs is it's a little bit of a black hole. So you spend this money, people click, but you're not really sure what's happening or what to do. And, you know, I'm personally really loving these, hey, listen to, you know, you can get impressions and get some connection out there without having the black hole necessarily in your wallet out of the gate.
Yeah, that's right. And this obviously is in tandem with a lot of different other ad campaigns. So you could get them in, say, for example, through an AdWords click that might cost you $4, but now you're retargeting back to them on Facebook, but you know exactly what they came in for via the AdWords click. And so the retargeting campaign is very specific. Mm-hmm. So you can, I mean, this can become an octopus really easily with, you know, varieties of different ways you're manipulating it.
So this might be a naive question, but how specific should you get in targeting? And can you get too specific?
That's a very broad question. I struggle sometimes to answer those because I oftentimes think of a particular client, you know, when I think about answering questions like that. If I'm marketing a book, you can get too broad. But you do end up with social proof. So as an example, when we advertise, I'll put it to you this way. We had an opportunity to get a billboard, and I split the billboard ad up 75% for Send It Rising and 25% just a big picture of my face. And it's and it said People of the World. And then I have another website, KellenKautzman.com. And that was 25% of the spend. And I wanted that simply so that I could use the picture of my face on a billboard to send to conferences and other folks looking for a speaker. So that I could increase the likelihood of my, you know, locking down the deal by, you know, showing them that I'm at that level, whatever that means.
It's very important, though, whatever that means.
Yeah, that's so, I was very specific tomorrow.
Right, right. But what you're saying is know your objective, and that really that then translates into how specific or what, who you, and what, where you want to target to. I want to ask you, I was going to go into blogging, but before I do that, I'm curious from your perspective, especially because you've kind of seen it in a longer life cycle. Are there things that some of us are doing online today that we think should be getting us results, but we really shouldn't be doing, or maybe we've, like, the, you know, online world tribe has moved past it?
There a couple of things come to mind. The first is that AdWords, if you're not, it's called culling your negative keyword list, you're in trouble. I will open up a lot of AdWords accounts, and for example, a printer client of ours was paying $8 for, like, free printing Las Vegas, or like make free copies, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just a terrible waste of money. And then Bing, believe it or not, can actually save you 15% over AdWords a lot of the times for the same results. Oh. And so you can just make more money that way. I see folks not adding call extensions to AdWords, which is silly. And I see a lot of folks running ads on desktop when they should be running only on mobile with a call extension.
What's a call extension?
So a call extension is the little blue phone that appears in an AdWords ad where only on mobile, the person can touch the phone and they start to call.
Oh.
And so that is really important. Say, for example, you're a locksmith. Why would anyone want to drive traffic to the homepage of a locksmith when you could get a phone call instead?
Right. And I have to imagine if they're going to click on that button, it means that they're actually interested. They actually are a warm lead.
Yeah. Plus, you know, most business owners can definitely do a lot better work via a phone call than they could a website visit. And the cost is identical.
Oh, it's so interesting. It all is so fascinating to me. I clearly know, you know, the superficial level to it, but it's so interesting to hear how it all works. And to your point about the octopus earlier, I wanted to go back to that. Do you need to be doing multiple things? Are you better off focusing on one or two, or kind of to your story, right? Do you need AdWords to be connected to Facebook, to be connected to, you know, whatever else?
No, you don't. Here's the recommendation. If you start something, do it for a year. Get your budget right so that you aren't simply doing it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. A lot of folks fall into that trap. They don't see results and they wonder why. It's like the garden analogy we used earlier, which is you're not going to eat the fruit of a plant that's been sitting in a pot for 2 weeks.
Right.
And so here's the secret sauce, basically. Create a weekly blog. If you can include video content in that, oh, yes, please. and then look at AdWords. Do call extensions on mobile only. Track conversions on the website through your Contact Us form. If it redirects to a thank you page, that's an easy way to do that. The blogs are shared on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Facebook for the social reasons. Google Plus for the link building reasons. And then when you create images, customized images, be fun. Like, don't look at it like you're the stodgy business. Think of memes, think of jokes, you know, just get out there and then put those on Pinterest. Follow about 25 to 50 folks a day on Pinterest to get up to about 1,000 followers. And what happens is if you have an image take off in Pinterest and you link that image back to the blog it came from, we've seen over 100,000 links over the last 2 years in Pinterest doing just that.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, the rank brain algorithm can't ignore it. It goes, well, I guess they're relevant.
Right. So I this is so powerful, and I hope if you're listening, particularly if you're a small business owner, that you actually just pull over in your car and pull out a notepad and actually list out everything that Kellen just said from the weekly blog down to Pinterest. Are there more from that secret sauce before we keep going? But I feel like this is an incredible list.
If you create YouTube videos, make sure to add annotations, which are the links that can appear at the end of the video. There's one so that users can subscribe. Do that. There's one that links back to your website. When you do that, you can add keywords in. We rank in the top three consistently for the keyword internet marketing and internet marketing Las Vegas. I'm convinced almost entirely based on the annotations that we have through YouTube and the fact that we advertise them. And then make sure you install Google Webmaster Tools because on the left-hand side, you can click on links and it'll tell you how many links you have pointed back to your site and where they came from. And you want this because it'll serve as a catalyst to keep you engaged and you'll be able to see what's working and what isn't.
Mm. Yeah, it's so interesting. We're in the process of redoing our website and really digging into the SEO and all of these things. And we just did the Webmaster Tools, and it's just so incredible the analytics and the information that you have at your fingertips to make smarter decisions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a part of our brains, Tamara, called the basal ganglia, which is a fantastic word.
It's really
fun
is.
To say. It's fun to
it's
say.
Like an appetizer. I'd like the basal ganglia, please.
Yes, please. Extra salt. it is the habit formation piece of the brain. And So there was a gentleman whose hippocampus was destroyed through a virus and he had no memory. He just would introduce himself to you over and over again, that sort of thing. But what they found was he would be able to walk around his neighborhood as long as it didn't change too much and he could find his way back. He just didn't know how he was doing it because this part of the mind was firing. And so the takeaway is that if you want to form a new habit, might I recommend installing Google Analytics on your phone, and when you wake up in the morning, hit that. Am I up? Mm-hmm. Am I down? More traffic? Where's it coming from? How long did they stay? Because just that one habit and about 30 seconds of your time will start your day off by thinking of, you know, what you could be doing better, what's working, and it will be the baseline for your future internet marketing endeavors.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I never thought of it that way. I love your flip on kind of not just the value it provides, but how it can send your day down a what do I do better? What do I improve? And I think I'm going to add it to my, you know, exercise, meditation, drink water, look at my Google Analytics.
Oh, tomorrow.
I mean,
that's quite the morning ritual you have going on.
I mean, it's like, it's powerful. It's really powerful.
You just sit in a state of nirvana in the morning.
Absolutely. Yes. Because I don't have kids or a dog or anything else happening ever. You know, you mentioned a little bit about the video with the blog, but what is it? Is a blog still necessary? Which I think the answer is yes, given you listed it. But what should it look like?
I'm glad you phrased it that way. In a perfect world, there are three kinds of blogs coming out from your company. The first is your traditional word-heavy blog that drives rankings. Hooray, great. The second is one in which you embed the YouTube video that you've created onto the blog. You start with the video and the video concept. Once the video is embedded on the blog post, then you write about it. So the content is just, you know, supplemental. And the third is a photo blog where, you know, the standard idea here would be, you know, 8 things you didn't know about internet marketing. And each of those photos or posts, customized photos, go on Pinterest as a link building mechanism.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to have to up my game. So that is all good. I was just taking notes, hence the silence.
I heard the little scratchy.
I was like, oh no, I better up. Okay, good. That's important to understand though, because it's one thing to know that in theory you should do that, and another thing to understand the best way to do it to get the results back for you as well. I want to, you know, you've been doing this for a little while. I want to dig in a little bit to some case studies of clients that have implemented your techniques and how it's transformed their business. Can you, I know, you know, probably can't share confidential, but is there one or two that you can share with us that has some good takeaways for the audience?
Yes. So Google reviews are absolutely top priority. If you are in the service industry, we live in the golden age of Google reviews, meaning that they're incredibly easy to get. They are much simpler to get than Yelp. And we had a client who I said, give me Google reviews, and some listen, some don't. And he got about 200, and he ended up buying an estate on a half acre, like built-in barbecue, hot tub, pool.
Sounds amazing. I'll be right over.
Got statues on it. There's statues all over the place.
That is the ultimate sign of success, isn't it? Statues.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is why else would you buy a statue?
So what exactly, though, does... I mean, I think I get it, but what does the Google review actually do for you that you're not getting in other ways?
Right. So when Google has to make a decision, you or your competitor, they're reading through the name, address, and phone number on every directory online. So they're trying to... they use that as a signal. And then they go through all of the reviews, because the reviews are like mini blogs. Mm. And all of the words on the reviews count toward your authority. And so when you get an abundance of five-star reviews and they're recent, what it does is it simply places your business ahead of your competitors in such a way that Google doesn't really have a choice. They end up just like, ugh. Like, they're so obviously ahead of everyone else that they show you. And it creates an effect similar to a plant in the forest floor, where if it's just like 2 inches taller than the other plants, it grows faster and it ends up just dominating that space. And so
that's
you
a great
can do,
analogy.
Yeah. So you can do that with Google reviews, but you have to be above your competition by like 10 reviews, and you want to double them eventually.
So, and again, a naive question, where do I go to even figure out the Google reviews? And then is there a link I send to people? How do I even get this started?
The best way to get Google reviews is to, when you're face-to-face with someone who likes you, you say, hi, would you be willing to write me a Google review? They say, yes, that's fine. And then you say, do you have your phone on you? And they say, yeah. And then you say, can you take it out, please? And they're like, oh, right now? Say, yes, right now. And they hand it to you, and you just type in the name of your company, and it'll be the first thing that appears. On the right-hand side, you'll see a little blue write a review button. 9 times out of 10, they're already signed into their Gmail. And then you can click on the 5 stars, hand it back to them, and maybe they'll go, I don't know what to say. Not a problem. I'll write it. And then you write your own 5-star review, and then you say, how does this sound? And they say, okay. And then you hit submit, and you say thank you, and now you owe them one.
Right. And now I'm buying a lot of coffee for a lot of people. But that is really powerful. I mean, I didn't even know that existed. So for those out there listening, Kellen has shared some really great, I don't want to say back end, but there are kind of around the brick wall ways to really up your game online, which is so cool. So, you know, I think you know, we talked a little bit in the beginning, a lot of the people who are in our community in Launch Street are innovators. Some are entrepreneurs, a lot of them are entrepreneurs as well, but they're working on new to the world ideas. So when you think about it from an internet marketing perspective, if you've got something that's new, so maybe the keywords that you might use, how you describe it, don't even exist. How do you think about that? So that you get, because you got to get people to you, right? To start before you can even get buy-in on this new to the world idea.
Right. So the question then becomes, what are the ancillary terms that are somewhere in the realm of what it is that I'm talking about? Can I get traction for, here's a good example. We had a client that was a cord blood banking company. So they're dealing with stem cells, and there just is not a lot of search volume for folks looking for stem cells. And so our stem cell cord blood banking. And so we ended up ranking in the top 3 nationally for the keyword pregnancy quotes. And that drove 250,000 site visits to this particular company. And if someone comes to the website where, you know, they're somewhere in the pregnancy cycle, and they are introduced to this concept, not only did we earn a ton of links back so that they did rank for things that were cord blood related, but you're also gaining attention in something that's as close as you're going to get. Because when there's no search volume, we both know that there's no point in ranking for something that nobody's searching for.
So, but the people, if I hear you right, the people that, came to the site were the right target market. They were just looking for something else, or they would describe it as something else before they got to what you were offering.
Yeah. They're in the paradigm, so to speak. And so, because you can't directly target them because no one's looking for them.
Right.
Alternatively, that's an SEO solution. Alternatively, via Facebook, you could do demographic targeting for folks that you believe would be interested in this particular product or service. Is it, you know, females in the South that like, you know, four-wheeling on Saturdays and spicy burritos? Then you can target them because Facebook's that good.
Right. Right. And, you know, what I think is important, launch readers out there who are listening, to really think about is don't get wrapped up in your own language that you use. And I am totally 100% guilty of this. Think about the language and the searches that your customers are doing and connect onto that and then get them to you. Because if they're not searching for you, it doesn't matter how good your idea is. They're not going to find you.
That's well said.
Yeah, well, I've been, once again, speaking from experience, unfortunately. What is, Kellen, you have so much knowledge and wisdom and experience in this. What is, just, if you were to kind of wrap it all up, what's one piece of advice that you would give listeners when they think about internet marketing? And, you know, I would venture to say that many of them out there are on the starting side of this equation.
That would be to buy my book.
Go on.
So Everybody's Doing It is coming out in 2017 fall. So in a couple months here, I've tried to answer that question. And it took me about 100 pages. The takeaway is that if you understand what advertising is, in that it's this struggle to earn someone's attention, you'll realize that from the moment you were born, when you started crying, that was your first ad. And as you grew, that same ad that was so effective at getting you everything you wanted and needed stopped returning on investment so well. So when you're three, you know, you got to start using your words a little bit, and the ads have to change and you have to evolve. And this is true of not only internet marketing in general, but every platform. So when you start something like a YouTube, you're a baby. You know, maybe you've got a lapel mic, maybe not. Maybe you've got good lighting, maybe not. Maybe you know how to use video production or not. Don't expect that you're going to be playing at this high level right away, and you've got to cut yourself some serious slack, because most of the community will, because they understand that you're just a baby. And they're going to be okay with you tripping and falling and, you know, going to get your head right. But there's no way to fast track through that. You have to grow through it. And so we are all advertising. Everybody's doing it. Everyone can empathize with it. Grow in time organically, and be honest and hold on to your integrity.
You know, it reminds me of a stat that actually a colleague of mine sent me, and I might botch it up a little bit, but it was basically saying that once a technique, and they were actually referring to online marketing and product launch strategies in particular online, once it gets implemented mass, its effectiveness goes down 60%. So the first people that started it have wild success, and then they tell all the rest of us how to do it, and then we all go do it, and then, you know, I jump on the bandwagon, and unfortunately by the time I jump on, that efficacy has gone down so much, I've got to go and figure out something else to do, which is kind of your analogy of, you know, crying worked for the first year. And then after that, the parent is like, no, I've been there, done that. So we're moving on to something else here. But it's kind of that same thing.
That's good insight. Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, we live in a dynamic world. And so we have to mix it up. But the same thing applies. I mean, you wouldn't think about it. You'd think, you know, like I'm old enough and I can kind of avoid some of these mistakes, but no, every platform, they all have their unique little nuances. And so just be really good to yourself, especially as an entrepreneur, because we tend to pretend that we have thick skins and we don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put ourselves out there and we think that the idea is worth it. And it, you know, 9 times out of 10 absolutely is. And, but we end up becoming the face of these ideas. And some people don't, you know, like the ideas as much as we do. And it's a lot of intellect and brain power that goes into this kind of thing. And I guess it's just on an emotional level. When you look back at your life, you may see all the mistakes, but Michael Jordan famously said, I don't recall all of the game-winning shots that I made. I remember the ones I missed.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how we focus on that too? But you got to get to all those ones you miss to get to the ones that work, which is, I think, basically what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So Everybody Is Doing It is the book. It comes out in the fall. Do you have a website or a link you can give us now?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So I can give that to you tomorrow if you want to put it on the
show
notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
But KellenKautzman.com. That's KellenKautzman.com. That's my name. And then SendItRising.com. Both have links to the book and a wealth of other information.
Excellent. Well, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. That's probably where people should go to connect with you as well. So my last question for you is, what's one thing people would be surprised to learn about you? Maybe that's a hobby, a passion, an experience.
I suppose if you didn't know me, ¿no sabes que hablo bien el español?
Oh, I don't. But I here's the thing. I grew up in California. I know what you said, but I can't respond back.
Está bien, Tamara.
So you speak Spanish.
I do. Yeah, I was a Spanish teacher.
Oh, were you really? Mm-hmm. Oh, so Ed, you learned the most. That question to me, just I learned the most amazing things about people, things you would just never guess.
Oh, sure. I bet a lot of folks aren't very bashful in telling you things.
Well, you know, some are, some try to couch it in something that would sound amazing, and some are just honest about it, which are the best answers. So, Kellen, thank you so much. This was a wealth of information, and I would venture to say that, you know, while our focus was online marketing, and I think that was hugely valuable, I think some of those lessons, for those listening who are on the entrepreneur side, there are some communication lessons in there too. So, thank you. That was great.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.